Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be in God's house.
Amen.
Filled with God's people. Amen. Come on, let's give him praise. Let's give him glory. And it's so good that we still have our online family, our online congregation present. And we thank God that he's given us the facility to be able to do this. We continue to bless you, and just to simply remind you that you are part of our church family. Some of you haven't actually been back to church since March, and you know, and some of you have joined us since then as new arrivals, if you like, virtually. But we want to bless all of you. We want to tell you that we love you all very much, and that you know God is in full control, and in his timing, by his grace, you'll be in the house of God. We have some people watching internationally. Maybe when next you're in the United Kingdom, you're in the UK, you come and say hi. But for now, we bless you in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to be in God's house. Yes, the men's walk was great fun. Rolly is a lovely man, and he just needs to know that he's forgiven. That's all I can say. Rolly Harris is incredible. I tell you what, he is. I don't know if he's watching now, but Rolly is just. Let's just bless Rolly and give him. He needs to take it up. He needs to take what this thing up as a living, because he is exceptional, absolutely exceptional. The walk was, it was 7 miles of. I believe the ladies are planning a walk, and. Let's see if you guys can beat that. You beat us at everything else. So, you've done 13 miles, have you? Well, good for you. Yeah. Next week, we have our baptismal service. Come on, let's give God praise. We have a good number of candidates that are going to be going through the waters of baptism. And we will have church. We're going to head off to Broad Sands, and that's where the baptism is going to take place. And then we are going to have a picnic at Broad Sands. So get ready. Those of you watching online, you can join us. It's going to be all in the open. So this is what we're now looking to do as a church, as a fellowship, as a family of God. You know, it is less about doing what we would always do and breaking out of that and starting to do things that really establish us as an authentic community of Christ followers. So amen and amen. It's going to be a wonderful time. So that's next week, straight after church. We're going to head off to Broad Sands. We're going to have the baptismal. During the service, we're going to hear the testimonies, and that will be wonderful. But we look forward to everything that God is going to do. And I think that's all I want to say, and just one more thing before I launch into my time of ministry, and that is welcome to Paul and Nina Taylor. You snuck in this quietly. We love you guys so much. You guys all right? Good to see you guys. So good. And it's so wonderful that the weekend that you picked to come on holiday in your rightful home. we opened up church, so we love you guys, and you know, we bless you guys, and it's really good. So let's bless Paul and Nina again. It's really good to see you guys. All right, so we're going to go straight into the Word of God. Last week, the title of my message was Freedom Day, and I said that we don't have to wait for a Freedom Day to be told that we are free. We are a people who are perpetually living in freedom, so long as we do what the Word of God says, and that is to believe the truth, to know the truth, to believe the truth, to obey the truth, and to apply God's truth to our lives. And Jesus says that the truth that we know is the truth that will make us free. Today, title of my message is, You Can Trust God. You can trust God. Father, we give you thanks and praise for your presence with us. We're so grateful to you, Lord, that you are here in person with us, Lord, as we are gathered in person. Lord, you are with our church family online. Lord, you're with our children and our youth next door in St. Paul's. God, we pray your ongoing blessing on St. Paul's and on the Reverend John Pout, his team, and the wonderful ministry of St. Paul's, and what they are now doing in our community as well. And Father, we pray that our youth and our children and all of our leaders and the teams will have a wonderful time, a blessed time in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, let's go to Proverbs, the book of Proverbs. I'm just a little bit overwhelmed because there's some of you I haven't seen for about a year, so praise the Lord. It's a long time, but I'll hold it together. Praise the Lord. I need to preach. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. It says, lean on, in the Amplified, lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind. And do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge him, and he will make straight and plain your paths. I want to announce it to you again, what you should already know. You can trust God. Whatever it is that you're going through right now, whatever it is that you have gone through, however you are feeling, whatever you're up against, you need to remind yourself, if you don't know already, that you can trust God. And what a time to be reminded about this simple truth. In such a season of incredible uncertainty. I mean, we don't even know what's going to happen one day to the next, for goodness sake. Isn't it good to know that in the midst of these choppy seas, we still have a God who walks on water.
Amen.
We still have a God who is above all. And he is your God. I'm going to remove this microphone because it's blocking the little platform etiquette there. Praise the Lord. A father once told a story about an experience that he had with, that took place between himself and his son. His son was called Zach. And one day, he says, while my son and I were out in the country climbing around on some cliffs, he said, I heard a voice from above yell at me, hey, Dad, catch me. I turned around to see Zach joyfully jumping off a rock, straight at me. He jumped and then yelled. He jumped and then he yelled. I became an instant circus act, catching him. We both fell to the ground, and for a moment after I caught him, I could hardly talk. When I found my voice again, I gasped in exasperation. I asked him, Zach, can you give me one good reason why you did that? He responded with remarkable calmness. He said, sure I can. I did it because you're my dad. And I knew that you would catch me. His whole assurance was based on the fact that his father was trustworthy. And he could live life to the hilt because I could be trusted. The father concludes by saying, isn't this even more true for the life of the Christian?
Amen.
Again, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, lean on, trust in, be confident in the Lord with all, not some, all your heart. This is, and all of your mind, because this really is a challenge. We don't do the all thing very well, do we? We give him some, we surrender some, we yield some, but we don't do all, do we? And if it wasn't in the scripture, if it wasn't in the word, then okay, it might be a gray area, but it's not gray, is it? It's black and white. Be confident, trust, and lean on the Lord with all. If I get Tim to stand up and I lean on him, I'll be leaning on him maybe with my arm. I might lean on him with my shoulder, which I did quite regularly as we drove home almost every night from seeing Sue and Sim. Tim was the driver because I couldn't drive yet. It would be very, very late at night because, you know, we just wanted to see our ladies. So, amen. It's all right, Tim. You can leave her alone. Right, she's trying to concentrate. She's in church. Anyway, so we would leave late and I'll be tired. Tim would be driving and thankfully he didn't fall asleep. On most occasions, he didn't fall asleep. But I did quite regularly. And I'll find myself gradually leaning towards him. And I ended up, some nights, I ended up in very, very strange and compromising positions, I have to say. But in his graciousness, he just let me sleep. I mean, if he did that to me, well, he already said it. But that's just Tim's heart. He's lovely. Let's encourage Tim. He's so beautiful. So one of the men asked this, where does he get all that energy from? He says, well, I don't. Don't tell him that. His head would get too big. I'll lean into him. And I would fall asleep. I had fallen asleep. And the next thing I knew, because we shared the house together, and we'll get home, and he'll nudge me then. Oh, I fall asleep again. You know? and that was that. But he let me sleep. And I felt that I knew he would do that. So I trusted he would do that. And I was able to find my rest. Now, the scripture says that we are to lean into God, trusting in him, but not with our shoulder or but with our hearts and with our minds, because that is really the aspect of our personality that for whatever reason, we want to somehow keep away from that place the most. Because of stuff that we have gone through, because of things that we've had to endure, we find ourselves having this protective covering and protective measure in place to guard our hearts. But we say, well, doesn't the Bible say we should guard? Yeah, the Bible says we should guard our hearts, but not from Jesus. To guard our hearts from lies, guard our hearts from the deception of the enemy, guard our hearts from the one who wants to sow weeds, but not from Jesus. The reason why I could do what I did in the car was because I felt that in the company of my brother-in-law, who I love, I can be very vulnerable. I could be rested. I could be carefree. But we're not very good at the all thing. And we need the Holy Spirit to help us overcome that. He says, in doing so, he says, in all your ways, recognize him, acknowledge him, and then he will direct and make straight and plain your paths. He will make your paths straight. He will make them plain. There will not be any confusion. There will not be any chaos. Some of you right now are struggling because your lives are chaotic. There's chaos happening in your minds and in your life. And Jesus is saying, quit trying to walk wounded. Lean into me. Because when you lean into me and you trust in me, then I can show you the path that is straight, that is not chaotic. And then you can start to make progress. But we struggle to trust God. Why do we struggle to trust God? I want to offer you just a few thoughts. And I want to offer you, before I tell you, I want to give you reasons why we can trust God. But too often, within the context of teaching a sermon or communicating a sermon, we receive all the points of the how-tos, but we don't actually hear a lot of why we got there in the first place. A few years ago, Sue and I went to London, and a lovely time was for her birthday. And I noticed that my back just started playing up, and it just getting worse and getting worse and getting worse. By the time it came back home, I could hardly walk, and I had to just lie in a particular, like one of our sofas was just about right, comfortable enough. So I laid in there, and it kind of helped ease the pain a little bit, but it was still very, very bad. So I went to the doctors. Doctors checked me out, and I just wanted them to prescribe something. Just give me something for the pain. I don't know, hit me over the head or anything. Just need you to do something, because it was horrible. But he didn't do that. What he did was talk to me about my lifestyle and stuff that I was doing and things that I should be doing that I wasn't doing and things that I was doing that I should not be doing. I was like, really? I just need, you know, give me some. No, let's just go through this. So he helped me kind of like take a few steps back and really identify the root cause of the pain in the back. And then he said, okay, now that we've identified how you got here in the first place, now we can start looking at how you're going to get out of it. And one of those things was me having to eat less cakes, basically, and do something about all of this. And praise the Lord, I haven't had back pain like that since, you know, so I give God praise. But we need to understand, if we're going to be honest, why we struggle to trust God in the first place. I'm not going to unpack these, because I want to talk about the reasons why we can't trust Him in the time I've got left. So the first thing I have here is this. We struggle to trust God. It's very quite obvious, really. We struggle to trust God because we can't see Him. He is not a visible God. He's not flesh and blood. He's not physical. And even for those of us who have been walking with the Lord for a long time, I believe that subconsciously we struggle with this. It's like the little girl once was scared, and her mom goes in and says, oh, what's the matter? Because she was at nighttime and she couldn't sleep. And the mom said, I just want a hug. I just want a hug. And the mother said, but sweetheart, Jesus is here. Jesus is here. That's lovely, and that's absolutely true. But the little girl turned to the mom and says, yeah, but I want hugs with skin on. I want hugs with skin on. And you know, sometimes, yes, we are like Jesus said to doubting Thomas, you know, blessed are those who haven't seen yet believe. We haven't seen Him yet, but we believe, so we are blessed. But the reality is, if we are truly honest, every now and again, because of the lack of the tangible nature of our relationship with God, we struggle to trust. And church, this is why we're a body. Because when I'm struggling, then He can send you to help me. When I need to be loved, He can send you to love me. And I can then receive His love, but with skin on. A bit more than skin, because, you know what I mean. So we struggle to trust God because He's not visible. He's not physical. He's not physical. He's a spirit. He's spirit. God is spirit. We struggle with God. We struggle to trust God because we don't always believe, if we're truly honest, we don't always believe He will deliver. We say we do, but If he searched us, if he searched our hearts, he would see that deep down inside, for some reason, we have this thing here in our hearts that we just hesitate to truly believe that he will do what he said he would do. We struggle to trust God because we don't know him as well as we should know him. We don't really know him. We know him, but we don't know him as well as we should know him. It's like the story of in the Hebridean revival. I think I may have shared this before. And Duncan Campbell, who got used as that vessel of the revival in the Hebrides, he was summoned by one of the praying sisters, Peggy, and she summoned him to a house. This 87-year-old blind woman. And she said to him, there is a town across the way, Barvas it's called, and the Lord says, you need to go to that town. And Duncan Campbell said to her, well, he may have said to you, but he hasn't said that to me. To which Peggy said, well, Duncan, Mr. Campbell, if you lived as close to God as I did, maybe you would have heard him too. And he was like, oh, I love it. Because he has this great man of God that God is using in revival, and you have this tiny, tiny little lady, 87 years old, pulls his ear down. Rosemary's the firm amen there. She goes, we struggle to trust God because we feel that he has let us down. I want to share with you five things that will help us supernaturally, I believe, unravel, just unpack and unravel these four things I've shared. I know it's five and four, but that's just the way it works sometimes. I want to give you five reasons from the scriptures why you can trust God. John chapter 14, verse 1 in the New Living Translation says, the Lord Jesus says this to his disciples and to us, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. The first reason why you can trust God is simply this. You can trust God because he is your God. He is your God. Psalm 18, verse 1 and 2 says, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. That's a statement of intent. When was the last time you made a statement of intent? I am determined to love you, O Lord, my God. O Lord, my strength. It goes on to say, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. See, God is your strength when you feel like giving up. He is your rock when you feel overwhelmed. He is your fortress when you are in the midst of the battle. He is your deliverer when you are oppressed. He is your God is your shield when you are being shot at. He is your salvation when you feel like all hope is being lost. He is your stronghold when you are being surrounded by the enemy. See, it's one thing to know God as God, but it's a whole different thing to know God as your God, as my God. He's your personal savior. You have a personal salvation Even though the work of salvation is generic and corporate, the work of salvation in you is specific and unique. He is your personal God. And I know it sounds cliche, but it's true. That if you were the only person on his good planet Earth, he would have sent his son to die for you anyway. He is your God, and that's why you can trust him. Exodus, I won't have time to read the scriptures. I want to encourage you, take note of them, read through them, meditate on them in your quiet time. Exodus 15, 1 and 2 says that my God has triumphed over my enemies. You got to almost speak this. When was the last time you referred to him as my God? My God. That's what Exodus 15, 1 and 2 says, that my God has triumphed. He has not will triumph. He has already triumphed over my enemies. 1 Kings 5, 4 says, my God has given me rest. Psalm 18, 23 says, my God has overcome the darkness around. Can you imagine that? He has overcome the darkness around you. Regardless of how dark this age becomes, you can never have your lights switched out. Psalm 18:28, next verse says, my God has made me unstoppable. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all, not again, not some. You see, it's incredible how when it comes to what God can do for us, we accept the all, but when it comes to what we've got to do for him, all is a problem. Jesus came and he gave me all. That's the least I can do for him. Anything else will be me shortchanging him. And until I recognize that he is not just God, but he is my God, I will keep on struggling. Today, know that you can trust God because he is your God. Number two, you can trust God because he loves you. Charles Spurgeon once said this, we cannot always trace God's hand, but we can always trust God's heart. We cannot always trace God's hand, don't always know what he's doing, but we can always trust God's heart. God loves you. He loves you very, very much. Child of God, he loves you. And his love for you is an eternal love. We get all of this from John 3:16, just that one verse. His love for you is an eternal love. His love for you is an extravagant love. His love for you is a benevolent love. It is a sacrificial love. His love for you is a disproportionate love. What does that mean? It means that outside of his help and his ability, it is impossible for us to love him the way he loves us. But he still loves us anyway, and that's why it's agape. Because agape love basically says, regardless of what you give back to me, I will always love you. I will always love you. And we say that his love is unconditional. That is not strictly true. Because the reality and the revelation behind agape love far supersedes that which we consider to be merely unconditional. God says that even while you were my enemies, while you were screaming at me, while you were tearing me down in your hearts and in your lives, while you were the furthest away from me that you could possibly be, I still loved you. How much more now that you are mine? How much more? We can trust God because he loves us. And because he loves us, he lives to care for everyone, for every single one that he loves. Some of you, maybe one or two of you, have actually, maybe either you verbally said this or not, but God doesn't care for me. Maybe you've thought it. God doesn't care for me. I want to tell you now that he does care for you. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, it says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. God loves you, and because he loves you, he lives to care for the one that he loves. It is easy to trust someone who you know and love, but it is difficult to trust someone who you don't know as well as you should know. And as a result of that, you don't really love as you should love. Because the only way that we can love God is if we have received his deposit into our hearts, the deposits of his love in the first place, the deposits of his love. So as we allow ourselves to be loved, then we can love him. And of course, we can love one another. And this is where the trust grows. This is where out of this place of intimacy, is why I shared a few weeks ago, it's humility, laying ourselves down, that leads us into intimacy. And in that place of intimacy, he says, you are now qualified, if you like, to walk in my authority. We can only love him because he first loved us. Now, if we can somehow be separated from the love of God, it will be game over. The enemy knows this, but so does God. Satan knows that if we can't be separated from God's love, it's game over. He knows this, but God knows it more. And this is why he has done everything in his power to ensure that such a thing can never happen. That's why we read in Romans 8, 37, 39, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Anything in heaven, anything on the earth, anything that is happening now, no matter how horrible it might be, and you know something, the Bible says is only going to get worse. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ. Nothing can. Absolutely nothing can. And so long as we have the confidence of this union, then we can trust him. And I pray that God will help each one of us do so. Number three, we can trust God because he cannot lie. So number one, you can trust God because he is your God. Number two, you can trust God because he loves you. Number three, you can trust God because he cannot lie. Hebrews 6:18 says in the New King James, it says, so God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he not said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? God is not a man that he should lie. In fact, we know that man will let us down, if we're being very honest. Because many of us in this room, those of you watching online, you have been let down. And by the way, you've let people down as well. That's just our nature. Amen? But Jesus has perfect integrity. Jesus has perfect integrity. And this is why we can trust his promises. When God makes a promise, he has every intention of fulfilling the promise that he made. This is why he said himself that I have magnified my word over my name. Don't believe me. It's in the scriptures. Psalm 138, verse 2. God says, I have elevated what I have said above who I am. Because if what I have said does not come to pass, then who I say I am is a lie. So he puts his word above everything else, and he puts his name on the line. And that's what it means. For he has elevated his word over his name. You can trust him. God cannot lie because he is the epitome of truth. Therefore, you can trust every word that comes out of his mouth. And my prayer today is that you will be absolutely convinced that God will never lie to you. No matter what you might be facing right now, there will always be a greater reality, a greater truth. You can trust God because he doesn't tell lies. Number four, you can trust God because he is sovereign. He is sovereign. In Psalm 139, verse 16, it says, "And in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." Again, Spurgeon says that there is nothing for which the children ought to more earnestly contend to than the doctrine of their master over all creation, the kingship of God over all the works of his hands, the throne of God and his right to sit on that throne, for it is God upon the throne whom we trust. It's him sitting on the throne that is higher than every other throne that we trust. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, so he knows the end from the beginning. He knows the beginning from the end. Nothing can ever take him by surprise. Jesus is Lord. He is Lord over every circumstance that you may face, good or bad. But you may ask, if God is sovereign and therefore has full control over the affairs of my life, what part does free will play? A.W. Tozer, the great author and pastor, said he once used the following illustration to attempt to reconcile God's sovereignty with man's free will. He says, an ocean liner leaves New York bound for Liverpool. Its destination has been determined by proper authorities. Nothing can change it. This is at least a faint picture of sovereignty. On board the liner are scores of passengers. These are not in chains. Neither are their activities determined for them by decree. They are completely free to move about as they will. They eat, sleep, play, lounge about on the deck, read, talk all together as they please. But all the while the great liner is carrying them steadily onward towards a predetermined port. Both freedom and sovereignty are present here, and they do not contradict. So it is, I believe, Tozer says, with man's freedom and the sovereignty of God. The mighty liner of God's sovereign design keeps its steady course over the sea of history. Be willing, child of God, to place all of your hopes, your dreams, your expectations under the covering of God's sovereignty. The number one reason why we get disappointed with God is because we've had misplaced expectations. We've had expectations that have come as a result of the gift of free will, having not submitted that free will to the sovereignty of God. Place everything under God's sovereignty, because then you, and only then, will you be able to trust him no matter what comes your way. Jesus is the captain of your ship. He is the only one who has set the predetermined course of your life. He is the only one who has established the predetermined destination, and he is the only one who is able to get you there. It reminds us of the wonderful hymn, "Through many dangers, toil, and snares, we have already come. 'Twas grace that brought us safe thus far, and it shall be grace that will lead us home. Jesus is the captain of the life of your ship. Therefore, today you can trust him because he is sovereign. And lastly, number five, you can trust God because he is faithful. Psalm 37, verse 3 says, trust, lean on, rely on, and be confident in the Lord and do good. So shall you dwell in the land and feed surely of his faithfulness. And truly you shall be fed. Hallelujah. Truly you shall be fed on the faithfulness of God as you trust in him. The missionary statesman Hudson Taylor had complete trust in God's faithfulness. In his journal, he wrote, "Our Heavenly Father is an experienced one." Amen. He knows very well that his children wake up with a good appetite every morning. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad you know that. He sustained 3 million Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. We do not expect that he will send 3 million missionaries to China, but if he did, he would have ample means to sustain them. He goes on to say and concludes, depend on it. God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. Amen. God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. You can trust God because he is faithful. Don't allow the enemy to use what you don't know to cancel out what you do know. Don't allow the enemy to use what you don't know to strike out what you do know. You don't know what tomorrow holds, but you do know that no matter what tomorrow brings, Jesus is still faithful, he is still powerful, and he is still in control and in charge. Do not allow the enemy to use, he has no power or authority of his own. He has no arsenal. Everything he gets to get at us, he gets from us. Everything Satan gets to get at us, he gets from us. So do not allow what you don't know for the enemy to take what you don't know to strike out what you do know. Regardless of an unknown future, we have a known God. Band, come back. To conclude, you may be here, you're here right now, you're watching online, and maybe you've asked the question, if he is my God, if he loves me, if he cannot lie, if he's sovereign, if he's faithful, then why did he let me go through what I went through? Or why is he allowing me to go through what I'm going through right now? The first thing I would say before let me just finish what, because I don't lose my train of thought. My simple and honest response to that is this. I don't know. I don't know why sometimes bad things happen to good people, and I don't know why sometimes good things happen to bad people. But what I do know is that your God, my God, is a good God. And in time, you will understand why. In time, you will see that he was the one who carried you, diverted you, protected you, and delivered you. And one simple key to help us in those moments where we're questioning God in that way, because there's nothing wrong with questioning God, but don't just have one side of the coin. Question God. But that's just one side of the coin. Flip the coin and actually then start to meditate on the times when he did deliver you, on the times when he actually did get you through what you were going through. Because that's where you get balance. If we just ask him the questions, but we don't meditate on what he's done, then we're not a balanced people. Amen? So that's what I want to encourage you to do. Now, as kind of like a take home, if you like. What I want to encourage you to do also is to just get that proverb, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says again, lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord and with all of your heart. Do not rely on your own insight, understanding, or your own understanding, in all of your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths and make your path. He will direct and make straight and plain your paths. Meditate on that and just think on those five things that I've shared with you. The reasons why you can trust. Whatever it is you're going through right now, whatever it is you're waiting for, whatever it is that you're believing God for, you can trust him. You can rely upon him. He is not going to let you down. He is not going to let you go. And he is not going to disappoint you. Your expectations may have been misplaced, but his expectations towards you have never been misplaced. All we now need to do is to get on the same wavelength, and we will protect our hearts and guard our hearts and guard our minds and our hearts in the right way. So meditate on the simple truths that say you can trust him because he is your God. You can trust him because he loves you. You can trust him because he cannot lie, and because he is sovereign, and lastly, because he is faithful. Let's bow our heads. We love you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for this simple truth. In the little time that we have, first thing I would like to do is, which is what we endeavor to do every service, is just to reach out to anyone here who doesn't really have a firsthand experience, knowledge and experience of what I've been talking about, as in a relationship, a personal relationship with a personal God. If you don't have that, if you don't have that yet, then I just need you to understand some simple things very quickly, that the reason why God created all of the universe and ultimately created you was so that you can have a relationship with him and he can have a relationship with you for all of eternity, for all of eternity. However, the problem is sin. Sin has separated us from God. We were created to be with him, united with him forever. But sin, the things that you and I have done wrong in our lives, have separated us from this beautiful, pure, holy, and just God. He is just in all of his ways. And what we also need to understand is that there is nothing we can do to take care of the sin problem. Going to church and attending church doesn't deal with that problem. Being a good person doesn't deal with that problem. Being Christian, confirmed, doesn't deal. You're not a Christian because you were Christian. No, I was Christian and I was confirmed. I was not born again. You must be born again if you are going to be a follower of Christ, if you are going to live with him for all of eternity. So our good deeds cannot deal with the problem of sin, the problem of separation that comes as a result of sin. But Jesus came, and that's why he came, to do what? To pay the ultimate price for your sin and for my sin. He did that on the cross because the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. So somebody had to die in your place and in my place. If somebody didn't come and die, then we would have remained dead for an eternity. And that is the worst kind of eternity that you can ever think of. But Jesus came and died in your place so that he can give us his life. He took our death so that we can have his life. And that is the glorious and divine exchange. And now the Bible promises us that everyone who simply trusts, and that's what we've been talking about this morning, everyone who simply trusts in him will have eternal life. And life with Jesus, eternal life, starts right now and lasts for, guess what? An eternity. So in this meeting, right here and right now, Those watching online, what I've just shared with you essentially is the gospel. It is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And if at this very moment, you understand in yourself that the only way to deal with this separation from God is Jesus, and you are ready to do something about the fact that you are separated from the Father, if you want to do something about that right now, then I just want to help you. And the way that you can get rid of that sin and that separation is by simply saying to the Lord Jesus that you have sinned against Him and that you want Him to forgive you. Ask Him right now for forgiveness for that sin. And then as you ask Him and in that place of confession, then even now, believe in your heart that He and He alone is your Savior and your Lord, the one who came and died in your place, but rose again on the third day. If you are not right with God, do what I've just asked you to do. If you want to become right with Him, if you don't, that's entirely your choice. But if the Holy Spirit is doing something in your heart right now and you want to get right with God, just do those two things. Confess your sin and confess Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, if you've done that this morning, either maybe you've done it for the first time or you've walked away, you've been far from God and you're coming home. If you have done that this morning and you have done that from a truthful heart, I want to ask you to do one simple and final thing before we finish our service, and that is to raise your hand so that we can recognize you. If you are ready to commit your life to Christ this morning and you've done that. God bless you, my sister. And I can call you my sister because that's what you are now. Anyone else? Anyone who's been away and has come home? All right, on the count of three, let's give Jesus the loudest cheer. One, two, three, come on. Let's give Him glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because He has left the 99 and He's come after the one. Praise God. Welcome to the family of Christ, my sister, our dear sister. Stand up, let's give God glory. Come on, stand to your feet. We're just going to worship Him. It's 12:30. I want to release all the parents now to get your children. So we're going to bring our time together to a close. I'll just do so with prayer. Beloved and Heavenly Savior, we thank You today for what You've shared with us, what You've shown us, what You've reminded us with. As we leave this place, God, help us to leave with a confidence in the simple truth that regardless of what we are facing, Lord, regardless of what the pressures that we are under right now, God, we can trust You. And Lord, You are about to take us over that which we are under. And we give You glory, God. As we trust You, we will cling onto the rock that is higher than I. And Holy Spirit, I pray this now for every single one of Your children. I speak over you, even in the season that we are in, even with all the strange things that are going on. I just want to then just declare over every one of you once again that He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrows that fly by day, nor of the pestilence pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life shall I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Come on, let's give him praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you all now and forevermore. You can trust God. Let's give him praise one last time. God bless you. Amen.